We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Oh, man, welcome in. What a weird game, really entire day, weekend for that matter. From Soldier Field, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns, episode 115 of the podcast, and the Bears win.
How? How did they win that game? They should have actually blown out the Steelers at some point, but they kept giving the Steelers opportunities to come back and beat them. How absurd? An absurd game.
It really was. The Steelers were quite frankly bad and gave the Bears a bunch of opportunities to put them away, really build a bigger lead. On the flip side, though, you can point to things like the first play of the game. Big Ben missed Martavis Bryant wide open downfield. It should have been 7-0 Steelers right away. It was just a really, really weird day. Where should we start? We have the national anthem protests across the league and what happened here. We have maybe the craziest play I've ever seen, confusing, dumb, you know, anything you want to call it, right at the end of the first half we can talk about. I don't know that anything changed with the quarterback situation, and nothing probably will change going forward this week. Where do you want to start?
Well, I wrote about the quarterback situation, and I found it almost exhausting. It's the same storyline. Mike Glennon was Mike Glennon, so let's talk about the craziest play I've seen here in years.
Real quick before we do that, I want to give out our voicemail line again, 312-222-5050. Bunch of them have already come in. In-game, after-game, I'm sure a lot of it was a reaction to that play, very play you're talking about, and there's still time to chime in as we'll bring you our voicemails as we do every week on Wednesday's episode. But for now, as we look down at the Soldier Field turf right now from inside one of the suites here, that play at the end of the first half, and assuming anybody who's listening to this saw this, but just in case you didn't, the Bears, one of the things that happened today, they made a handful of really good plays, like playmaking type plays that we don't see from this team very often. And one of them was Sherrick McManus coming off the edge, blowing by one of the Steelers' tight ends, and easily blocking a field goal right before the half that was a huge play. So it was 14-I'm even going to have to go through this in my head. What was the score at that point?
It was 14-7.
Okay, so 14-7. The Steelers are trying to make it 14-10, exactly. So they're trying to make it 14-10 before the half, get some momentum back. McManus blocks the kick, and this ball bounces straight to Marcus Cooper. The kind of luck that these guys have not had, especially because we're talking about two members of the secondary that can't seem to, the secondary still can't seem to create turnovers. So this thing goes right to Marcus Cooper, and from the point he grabs the ball, looks like he has a free run at the end zone, and this is going to be a 10-point swing in the Bears' favor.
He had a free run at the end zone. There was no way that he should have been caught. He inexplicably stopped. Well, he started to slow down at like the 15, the 10. I'm like, okay, what's he doing? What's he doing? Then he just stops at like the 3-yard line, 2-yard line, and he gets caught. Free ball, knocked loose. What was going on in his head? It's inexplicable.
So this is what I wrote about after the game, and I went to the Steelers locker room because I wanted to talk to Vance McDonald, who was the guy that ended up catching Cooper, knocking the ball loose, and also Jordan Berry, who was the holder on the play that also hustled down the field and ended up being the one who knocked this ball out of the end zone. So what I ended up writing was basically an oral history of one of the craziest plays I've ever seen, probably the craziest play I've ever seen, and I'm just fascinated by it, and I loved all the responses. For one, here's what Vance McDonald had to say about Marcus Cooper slowing down.
Yeah, that's really unprofessional. Really unprofessional. And
really put it, keeps us in the game for sure. You know, coming into the half, that would have been really bad momentum. Have them return that for a touchdown. So, yeah, just doing whatever I can.
Unprofessional. Very candid. Also, well, I don't know if it's unprofessional, but it's not correct. It's dumb, that's for sure. Maybe it is unprofessional.
Marcus Cooper said afterward that he thought he scored. Clearly, he did not score. There is no coaching point. There's really nothing for John Fox to say other than maybe to berate the young man. There is nothing that should excuse him from not scoring in the instance. He should have been a 14-point Bears lead heading into halftime. Instead, they allowed the Steelers to hang around, and Mike Glennon started to flounder around and all that. And look, it's kind of baffling. These are the plays that you would see like in the past, and the Bears would not be able to overcome this. So as I was trying to wrap my mind around this at the end, somehow the Bears found a way to prevail despite the inexplicable decision by Marcus Cooper to not score on a play he should have scored on.
I do the hashtag Bears special teams that's been going on for years, pretty much ever since Dave Tobe left Chicago when Lovie Smith was fired. And that was the worst one. And it really should have not. It should have been the exact opposite. I mean, it should have been a tremendous Bears special teams play, and it turned out to be the worst I've ever seen. And they catch a tremendous break. Everyone was confused about what the rule is or was. I talked to a bunch of players in both locker rooms that really had no idea what was going on. The Steelers were sent back to the locker room because Cleet Blakeman, the referee, originally announced that there was no play, that the half was over. So even the referees were confused on what happened. But basically, had the ball just rolled out of the end zone without getting batted, Jordan Berry, the holder, batted it out of the back of the end zone. Had it just rolled out on its own, that would have been a touchback, and it would have been Steelers' ball. Really, the play would the half would have been over. And had they fallen on it, had the Steelers fallen on it, it would have been a touchback too. So the fact that it was illegally batted out of the end zone, and that is a penalty. We saw that last year in the Seattle-Detroit game. That is what ultimately gave the Bears an extra play. And how about John Fox originally deciding to go for it?
It's so anti-Fox, the conservative coach who was conservative really throughout the entire game with his entire game plan, really, with Mike Glennon. It was so non-him. I'm sure it was the momentum and the Steelers literally not being on the field, you know, when the Bears are lining up. Just a crazy set of circumstances. And then what do you get? Something that is so Bears, I think. You get a Charles Leno false start. Back him up. Here comes Connor Barth for a field goal.
I talked to Leno after the game about what happened there. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I'm trying to come off the rock. I'm trying to come off the rock. I'm trying to, you know, dominate the guy in front of me. Too anxious, and I false started, and we had to get the field goal. So, I mean, were we supposed to be in that situation? No. We got in that situation. Did I mess up? Yes. But it doesn't really matter now. We got the win. I'm more excited about that. I'm glad it didn't come down to any of those things.
So you could tell he was anxious. He was trying to fire off the ball. Or fire off the rock, I think is the way, the effing rock, as he put it, and false start. So the Bears kicked the field goal. Maybe, honestly, I don't know how you were feeling in that moment, and no one really knows. I wasn't feeling very confident that they were going to get in. The way that whole sequence unfolded, I was thinking, this is going to be the most Bears thing ever. They're going to get 0 points. They're going to get 0 points out of this. When the one time John Fox does something very, very aggressive, like him kicking the field goal is textbook John Fox, and that's not what he decided to go for it there. So Leno's false start pushes them back. They kick the field goal. It ends up being a positive 6-point swing for the Bears. But it didn't feel like a positive play. It should have been a 10-point swing, and you just felt like those 4 points were going to end up being a big deal in this football game.
It all goes back to how did they win this game? They weren't that good in the second half. Sure, they had some huge heroics from the running backs, but wow, it was just the entire sequence of events of that play. confusing, baffling, odd, absurd. So many adjectives and words could be used to describe that. Just, I don't know how the Bears actually overcame that. That was so un-Bears in a John Fox era for them to have that type of resolve. So maybe that's a big positive to take away. When you had all these negative circumstances in this game, things that started to mount on them that would really negate winning, the Bears somehow managed to win this one.
So it was 17-7 at the half. The score at the end of regulation was 17-17. They didn't score in the second half. And I just want to clarify something. When we did our podcast in print this week, and we discussed this a little bit on the podcast on Wednesday too, because I used the word conceding. Like, they're conceding. I mean, I took it a little extreme, like they're conceding a game by playing Glennon. I'm not, again, I wasn't saying that the Bears actually think they're conceding, but look at the game plan in the second half. It was like they tried to play a game, tried to finish off the Pittsburgh Steelers by not using the quarterback. That's essentially what they were doing. They weren't letting Glennon do anything that could potentially lose the game for them. And guess what? He almost did it anyway. He throws a terrible interception. And look, there's been a lot going on since the game ended. So I'm going to ask you, did he even go into detail about what happened there? Because unless Zach Miller was supposed to sit down on his route, that was just a terrible throw by Glennon.
It was an option route. He could have gone inside or outside. Miller clearly went outside. Glennon threw inside where he had a couple Steelers. And just the entire play, he was covered. There were three guys there. It was a crowd of Steelers.
So aren't these the moments that the whole point of Glennon playing is because he has the experience and he understands the offense? What was going on in the offensive line with all his false starts? It was like something was wrong with the cadence or something. Because there was one point on it looked like Massey false started. I think they actually may have called it on one of the other guys. But Kyle Long turned around and like looked at Glennon like he was confused. It didn't seem like they were on the same page there. And this is all the kind of stuff the Bears talked about as the reasoning for why Glennon's playing over Trubisky. And, I mean, come on. I when you say how did they win this game, the biggest thing I go back to and am bewildered how they won the game is because they literally did it without a quarterback. Okay, not literally. Not literally, because Glennon literally, I did the wrong literally thing there. Glennon is literally a quarterback, but come on.
I'm sorry for laughing. Look, he completed 15 passes. 12 of them went to running backs, and I get that their options. Three cone is a great option in the passing game, but 12 of them? One reception was the result of a completed pass to a wide receiver, and it came with less than 6 minutes left in regulation to Deontay Thompson. It was a 9-yard completion on a 3rd-and-16 play. I don't want to be I know I'm coming off as overly critical of Mike Glennon, but he had a chance to win this game. 3 minutes, 26 seconds left, and I don't want him to get bailed out by his offensive line and the heroics of his running backs in overtime. I don't want him to need to be bailed out by his defense again. The quarterback needs to win you football games sometimes. He can't be the reason you almost lose every single week. He was better than he was in Tampa, but he still was not good in this game against the Steelers.
If there was a play that was telling more than anything when it came to Glennon, it was 3rd-and-31 at the 46. 3rd-and-31 at the 46-yard line. The Bears had been in field goal range, committed, what was it, 3 penalties in a row, whatever it was, backed them up to 3rd-and-31. Obviously a terrible situation. They just handed the ball off. They handed the ball off. They're at the 46-yard line. The Steelers 46. 15-yard gain, you're back in field goal range. Didn't even try. Didn't even try to get half that yardage back. I understand not trying to take a shot down the field to try to get 32 yards at a first down, but you're close to field goal range. They handed the ball off. I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything about what this offense is right now, with the quarterback they have playing, it's not like we're making a big deal out of nothing here. Their actions and how they're calling football games tell you everything you need to know.
He took a sack where he had a lot of time in the pocket. He actually had an open check down, believe it or not. You know, he's a – call him whatever you want. He had a check down option, his number one target. And Jordan Howard to his left took a sack, backed him up out of field goal range, and then Charles Leno had a holding penalty to completely take him out of field goal range. But he's not going through his decisions fast. Clearly, it's a problem. And then he almost got intercepted in the Bears' own zone in like the final 2 minutes. Yeah. Like forget the Zach Miller one. When he has a chance to win the game and he has three checkdowns, go for like 26 yards, he's moving the ball. He almost gets intercepted on a ball thrown well behind Deontay Thompson. You can blame these receivers only so much. You can blame his tight ends only so much. It all comes down to the quarterback. The Bears' offense is severely limited by his play.
Yeah, and look, actually, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic brought this up to me in the middle of the game. Remember that game in Seattle 2 years ago? John Fox's first season, Adam Gase was the offensive coordinator. Jay Cutler was hurt. It was early in the year, week two or week three. Bears go out to Seattle facing a really good Seahawks defense. Jimmy Clausen had to start the game. Do you remember that game plan that day? I mean, Adam Gase wouldn't let Clausen do anything. I'm not even sure there was a single throw 15 yards downfield the entire time. And you talk about conceding games. Again, I'm not saying they're literally conceding games. But essentially with that game plan, they had no choice. And it was just the reason I bring that up is because that's essentially what the Bears' game plan has been the last 3 weeks with Mike Glennon. With the exception of the end of the Falcons game, I would say when they opened it up a little bit and Glennon did actually move the ball downfield. And what's sad about it is I actually think Glennon's better than Jimmy Clausen. But the thing is like that's – they have the number two overall pick on the sideline. And for 3 weeks in a row, they've gone with that game plan because – really, that's how much they don't want to play Trubisky right now. It's really telling.
I get that we want to compare or use offensive coordinators as what's going on with their game plan. Why is Adam Gase not throwing the ball at Jimmy Clausen? A lot of this goes to John Fox, though, too. You know, these guys, Adam Gase and Dow Loggins, set up their game plans underneath the ultimate decisions by John Fox, if that makes sense. I mean, John Fox has a way they want to play, and they have to come up with a game plan for the way that he wants to play.
Well, to be clear, though, I'm not criticizing the game plan. I'm criticizing the fact that the quarterback is still in when that has to be the game plan, when they believe that has to be the game plan. And we talked about this last couple weeks. Their game plan right now is to do what they did today. Somehow keep it close so that a bunch of freaky things happen and you somehow win the game. I mean, this is exactly what the Bears' game plan is right now. And today against a good football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it worked. So I guess the only bad news, Bears fans, out of all this is that it's not going to change. Thursday night against the Packers, it's going to be the exact same thing.
And the Packers are a beatable team. Did you see them barely get out of beating the Bengals? The Bengals are an awful team. Yeah. I mean, these are winnable football games. I know they still got Aaron Rodgers. I know it's going to be a short week. So, but the Packers are beatable. Their offense, or their defense, I should say, has injuries. They have holes to begin with anyway. That's not a scary Packers team as some people will make it out to be. Just like the Steelers team proved to be pretty average today here on a Sunday at Soldier Field. So there are winnable ball games. And look, the headline of my column, which is online right now at ChicagoSunTimes.com, is competent. What is it? I forget it already. But a competent quarterback would make the Bears a formidable team. That's my point of my article. It's part of the headline. I believe that now. I've seen enough of Mike Glennon over 3 weeks to believe that Mitch Trubisky comes in and completely changes the dynamic of this offense and makes the Bears a completely better team.
Maybe I'll still hold out hope for week five with that long layoff in between games as a possibility, because you have to think that they're looking at this the same way. It's right in front of you. It's not hidden. It's all over the tape. It's in front of our eyes. And if Trubisky is as good as they obviously think he is for giving up draft picks to trade up one spot, You have to imagine. I mean, that still, to me, that action speaks louder than any words or whatever they're doing. At some point, they're going to make that move because they're seeing the same thing we are. Just probably won't be on it with 3 days rest going into Green Bay. They're probably going to try to muck it up and try to win it the same way. All right, player of the game and my biggest concern for me are the same thing, or at least the same player. It has to do with the same player. My player of the game, Jordan Howard. 23 rushes, 138 yards, two touchdowns, playing with a hurt shoulder that got aggravated multiple times in this game. He had to come out. He gutted it out. Said a lot about Jordan Howard that he gutted it out the way that they did, especially when the Bears had no passing threat whatsoever. And you're playing a tough Steelers defense that was keen in on the run. And great performance. Hat tip to the offensive line, too, that blocked well from a run standpoint. Choppy at times when it came to pass protection, I thought. But they got enough out of Jordan Howard. My biggest concern, though, speaking of that shoulder, is that shoulder. 3 days of rest. You're going into Green Bay. What is Howard going to look like on Thursday night? And will he even be available? My guess is he'll try to play, but that's tough.
Yeah, I think he'll play. Just seems to be in his demeanor. Very confident after the game. And he's, I guess I could compare or combine him and Cohen for the player of the game. I mean, Cohen's star in the making, or true stardom-like run in overtime. I mean, that was special. Special football player. A lot of change in direction. The last juke he made at, like, the 5-yard line, then to leap into the end zone. He is electric. He is very, very special. A great combination with Jordan Howard. I think they were the players of the game. They definitely took over overtime. I mean, Mike Glennon didn't have to throw a ball in overtime. I mean, how great is that, you know, for the Bears game plan?
But he led the game-winning drive. He gets credit for getting the game-winning drive. Mike Glennon does, even though he didn't throw a pass. That's actually true. Mike, it's a shame that Cohen's heel just barely stepped out of bounds, and I think it was the right call. When you zoom in on the replay, it's a still shot, but if you zoom in, it does look like the back of his heel was just barely clipping the white chalk. It's a shame that didn't count, because that is the type of play that really would live on forever. You know, the type of play where you think, remember when the Bears beat the Steelers that 1 year and that incredible Tariq Cohen run? Still some nice runs by Howard after that to get in the end zone. I think Deontay Thompson probably got a way of holding on that last one. But, yeah, it's too bad that Cohen's TD didn't stand.
I should have made my bold prediction about Jordan Howard this week. The Bears needed to establish him, and I didn't get why everybody seemed to be so sour on the guy after the first 2 weeks, calling him, you know, whatsoever, one-year wonder. I've always been high on him. Heck, he even had a couple catches today to prove his naysayers wrong in a few capacities there. So great game from him. The Bears desperately needed that. He desperately needed that despite his bum shoulder right now.
Speaking of bold predictions, my bold prediction of getting under 50 yards rushing, which you criticize as not being bold enough, Bears finished with 220. They had over 50 yards in the first quarter. So give them tons of credit for that. I underestimated the running game, and happy to call myself out for that. All right. Do you have a biggest concern this week?
Well, the injuries to the offensive line. I mean, Hironos Grisou had a cast on his hand. We'll see what Josh Sitton is for the Packers game. You know he wants to play in that one. I mean, who knows? Maybe Sitton comes back and you get your starting offensive line back of Leno, Kyle Long, Whitehair, Sitton, and Massey. They'll be great going to the Packers game, especially with the way they ran the ball today against the Steelers. But you don't want to see these injuries continue to mount on your offensive line. You're down to Bradley Sowell. You're down to Hironos Grisou. Had to come out in the field with a cast at hand just in case he had to come in. The depth has been seriously tested on the offensive line.
Yeah, Sitton missed the game in Lambeau last year, so you know he wants to play in that one. And it'll be interesting. We'll talk more about this this week. But if Sitton comes back, Kyle Long ended up playing right guard today, which we talked about being the possibility. Which side do you play him on? I mean, you just stick him at left guard. That'll be really interesting. We'll continue to monitor that this week. All right. We can't get out of here without talking about the national anthem protests that occurred all over the league today. And Chicago ended up being one of the places that really got a lot of attention, mainly because the Steelers opted not to come out of the tunnel, which it's interesting. I don't know that we have to get into all the politics of this, but if you actually listen to Mike Tomlin's reasoning for why they didn't do that, it didn't seem like it was actually a protest. It seemed like he was just sort of trying to avoid a situation where maybe half of his team's kneeling, half of them aren't. I don't know how you read the situation, but he seemed, including his post-game comments, seemed really annoyed that this was even something that they had to address and deal with this weekend. He thought that this should be a football game. And so instead of coming out at all, or instead of, you know, dealing with it on the field, he just decided not to have his team come out at all. I mean, it still can be viewed as a protest, but I just thought that the reasoning behind what the Steelers actually did was very interesting.
Well, he still had one player come out into the tunnel there. What's his name?
Alejandro Villanueva, I think. I hope I'm getting that right. I mean, he's one of their key players on the offensive line, a former Army vet, obviously important to him to stand out there for the anthem. And, you know, it was interesting because Mike Tomlin said the whole point of this was to have 100% participation in whatever they were doing, and one guy didn't do what the rest of the team did, so he didn't really accomplish that. And Tomlin kind of dodged the question when he was asked about it after the game.
Well, it's clear his team wanted to do something, and I think it's important that all teams kind of do something or show some signs of solidarity because of Trump's pretty divisive comments. You saw the Bears lock arms. I know you went to talk to Trevathan, talk to Sheriff McManus. They gave some very heartfelt answers about how they felt. Samacho is another guy. Obviously, Trevathan was the one who took it to John Fox, and John Fox was open to this. George McCaskey was open to this. They wanted to show unity. They didn't want a bunch of guys doing different things. So maybe that's what Tomlin wanted. So teams like the Bears, I think, did it right and appropriately. They had everybody together showing unity in a way to maybe counter Trump's very divisive comments.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear. I personally think that however people do it, it's fine. I mean, that's the freedom of our country and what makes it such a great country. But I will agree that the way – and I don't have a problem. I hope I didn't come off like I had any problem with what the Steelers did. I didn't. I just wanted to bring up the fact that I found Tomlin's explanation for what they did very interesting, and I'm not sure that they really accomplished what Tomlin was hoping to accomplish, whatever they did. But I will say how the Bears came off in complete unity, it looked really good. I mean, it accomplished things. And the players actually talked a lot about after the game, like it kind of lifted them during the game, you know, that they all really came together as a team. So, you know, that I thought that was notable, and quite frankly, because up until kickoff or right before the national anthem, the Bears weren't exactly being painted in a great light because they decided to punt on releasing a statement yesterday when a bunch of teams were releasing statements on what Donald Trump said, and they didn't do so until what? It was within an hour of kickoff, right? When George McCaskey did release a statement, and it didn't mention the president, which I'm not saying is right or wrong, but there's many teams that specifically addressed the president in their statement, including three owners, by the way, that donated to Trump's inauguration. So, right or wrong, whatever, the Bears weren't exactly getting credit for handling this in the right way until the national anthem, and I do think that that came off very strong.
Right. Agree or disagree, everybody could get heated over politics. People have their strong opinions on this matter. I just came away feeling very positive about the way the Bears did it. The sign of unity with players of all different creeds and races standing there together, locked arms, support from their owner, support from their head coach who believes in standing for the anthem. So to do that and then come away with the win, of course they're going to feel good about the way they represented themselves before the game and after it, coming from the Bears side.
So with that in mind, I realize that there's a lot of people that are probably listening to this right now that are pissed off at all the protests. They disagree with it. We see it all the time on Twitter. It's been flooding both of our mentions for the last 24 hours as different teams have handled this in different ways. But I want to play what Danny Trevathan had to say after the game. He, again, like you said, he was the one that took this to John Fox. The idea to lock arms. And please turn this podcast off, even if you're upset by it. Please, I'm begging you to just at least listen to what Danny Trevathan has to say about the reasoning behind what the Bears decided to do here, and understand that it's not a matter of them disrespecting anything. It's really the exact opposite, and them trying to show unity. So please, this is what Danny Trevathan had to say. Take a listen.
I feel like as a unit today, we stood together, man, and we just wanted to share that we can't be divided. We are a team.
Danny, sorry if you already answered this, but Jordan told us it was you made the call to lock arms. How did you come up with that as the deciding factor you're going to do?
Well, it was a lot. I just talked to God, you know, last night, took some time, you know, and just looked at myself really deep, you know, how do I want this 17 Bears to be looked as? Did we just step by and just let stuff happen? That's not the team we want to be. If we're going to be a unified team, we are together, and everybody said we're together, let's lock arms and let's go ahead and fight this together, man, and let's showcase out there together. We fought together today, and I was proud of this team.
So what's the process then? Did you go to Coach Fox? Did you go to the team first? How did you?
I went to Coach Fox first. You know, normally, I know Coach Fox real well. Went to Coach Fox. George McCaskey came in and talked to us, and I just told him, you know, I feel like we should do something, lock arms, and everybody was with it, you know, all the leaders together, we stuck together, man, and I was so proud that the team did that together.
So just the three of you, George and Coach Fox?
We had a lot of guys in play. Acho, we had Akeem. We was all just chatting last night, you know, sharing ideas, you know, a lot of emotion, a lot of mixed feelings about it. But, you know, we are pros and we are a man about this. So we had to stand together.
Was kneeling a possibility?
It was, but we just came up with the idea, man. If guys want to kneel, they'll kneel. And I just feel like as a unit, we need to show how unified we really were together. You know, not one person missing in the link. Everybody was holding arms. Everybody was locked in together. Everybody had each other back today.
How important is it just to get the win, though? That's all nice and good to feel together and everything, but I'm assuming this was
that's our job.
You needed. Right?
That's our job, man. Our job and our mindset was to get the win, first of all. We know what our job is on the line, but we know we had to do something about that. And I was proud of the way our team responded and held in there like grown men.
Defense came together. There were a lot of stars on the other side of the field. How were you able to really shut them all down?
We know what's in front of us. I mean, we knew what type of team they are. They're a great team, you know. You got stars, like you said, everywhere. We have to be sound to be attacking during the week, like we're playing them every week. And just that extra unification together, you know, that helped us a lot. Like, you know, the guy next to you is going to fight for you, man. And, you know, it showed in that game. The defense stepped up, and we shut them down.
You mentioned that George McCaskey was among those that you guys talked to, and I think he addressed you guys too. What was his support like? What did he have to say to you guys?
He said we had to say, man, and just for him to come down and speak to us was, you know, it was a relief to us. We know that he's on our side. We know that he feel like we are one as an organization. You know, we got things to do, and we got to take care of it together. And I really appreciate him coming down and saying his piece with us and saying how he felt, because we got to see how he feel up there. And we know that we are together, and we went out there and fought together in the showcase out there today.
Danny, how difficult was it for you guys after what's going on in the past couple of days not to do anything in protest or to show your feelings?
You know, this is history right here. Last night I just prayed to God and said, you know, how do I want to be defined? You know, how do the 17 Bears want to be defined? How do we want to be defined as men, not as individuals, as men, you know, as each person, as position? They're going to look at our record, of course. We got to win the game. But how are they going to look at us in this situation? How do we stand as a team? And I was proud of everybody who stood up and said their piece. You know, you have mixed emotions, but God had each other back. You know, certain people, family was involved in the military. You know, I know mine is, you know, some. And said my piece, man. I just prayed to God, and I looked at my teammates, and everybody had my back and went out there and fought.
What did you think about the Steelers' decision not to even come out?
That was great. It started at the top with them. It was a leader move. You know, as long as they did it as a team, I feel like that was the right move to do. Whatever y'all do, do it together. Don't do it divided. Do it together so we can't fall.
All right, so we're just going to leave it at that with what Danny Trevathan had to say about the Bears' decision to lock arms there. In the end, what a really unique day at Soldier Field. Between everything that happened pregame, what's been going on this weekend, the way the game played out, the way it went to overtime, the way the Bears managed to win a close game here at Soldier Field, which seems like they just have not been able to do lately with so many opportunities. In the end, the Bears are 1-2 with a chance to go to Lambeau Thursday night on a short week. The Packers look beatable. Crazy things happen on Thursday night. It probably won't particularly be a pretty game, but that might actually play in the Bears' hands. And who knows what'll happen? I wouldn't rule out that they're 2-2 on Thursday night. Any final thoughts here from Soldier Field?
Look, I thought the Bears would win a game in their first 4 weeks. I didn't think it'd be this game. I obviously picked them against the Buccaneers. I still don't think they're a bad team. As sour as everybody got on them last week because of the Tampa fiasco, that was because of the quarterback. The quarterback threw that game away. There are a lot of positive signs about this football team. They've improved defensively. Their secondary is better than decent, better than it was last year. You got guys who can make plays. You can break up passes. Marcus Cooper, despite his bad decision not to score for some reason, he still broke up a lot of passes. He kind of redeemed himself in a sense in the second half. There are good things to think about the Bears. Now I think a change in quarterback can really change the outlook for this team, though.
No, it's a good point, and honestly, we probably haven't talked about the defense enough in this podcast, so just close on that note. It's almost like we're taking them for granted for a good reason. Like, they played pretty solid today against a good Steelers offense, held them down, held Le'Veon Bell down. What did he finish with? 61 yards on 15 attempts. So that's pretty good, and Ben Roethlisberger, an 82.7 rating, not great. Not terrible, but not great. Bears did a good job today defensively. That seems to be the one part of this team that you kind of know what you actually have here. A good enough defense to keep you in games. That we probably should address that early on in the podcast. That's a very positive sign. They've been overall pretty damn consistent through 3 weeks. And pretty good. So I completely agree with you. You make a change at quarterback, you get this offense going. They're still going to have weaknesses because they're banged up on the offensive line and they don't have any wide receivers. Marcus Wheaton ended up having zero catches today. The Bears wide receivers had one catch. Total, one catch. Deontay Thompson had the one catch. That's not good. But, you know, a different quarterback can maybe get things going and make some of these players better than maybe they actually are from a receiving standpoint. So There's some positives. We'll see how it all looks on Thursday in Green Bay. We'll be there. We'll have a preview episode this week. Guess we haven't finalized that at this point, but still Wednesday, or we'll knock it out Tuesday maybe. We'll figure it out. We'll follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. These weeks are always crazy, but we'll still get you the preview episode going into Thursday night's game at Lambeau Field against the Packers. Read our post-game columns, WGNradio.com/Bears. That's where you can read my oral history of the craziest play here at Soldier Field and Adam Johns on the quarterbacks at ChicagoSunTimes.com. We'll also have a podcast in print this week for you in the Sun Times. And subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Find us on iTunes. Find us on the TuneIn app, WGN Radio's app. It's all good, all easy to listen to there. And 312-222-5050 is our podcast voicemail line. Still time to chime in. I'm sure it'll be great this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's become a highlight, at least of our recordings, and I know a lot of people look forward to that.
312-222-5050 is that number. All right, we'll talk to you later in the week as the Bears get ready to go to Lambeau.